So today's readings from the second Sunday of Advent give us an image that's also a good image of the spiritual life, and it comes up throughout the Bible, so I'd like to talk about this image today. It's the image of the desert. So we heard this from the first reading and from Isaiah. A voice cries out in the desert, "Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God." It seems to be a pretty surprising place for God to want to come in the first place, to the desert, to the wasteland. But yet the image of the desert is found throughout the scriptures, most famously in the book of Exodus, where the Israelites wander around through the desert for 40 years after having been freed from their slavery in Egypt. Those were very difficult years. It wasn't like they were walking down the desert of the Las Vegas Strip. They were in the wilderness, and there were dangers on all sides. Violent pagan enemy tribes, poisonous snakes, not to mention the hunger and thirst and mental and physical exhaustion that they often felt. So this time of in the desert for Israel in the book of Exodus was a time of great trial, but it was also a time where Israel encountered God most profoundly. So God led them by day with a column of cloud. At night, he led them with a column of fire. When they were hungry, he rained down manna and quail from heaven. When they were thirsty, God had Moses strike the rock and water gushed forth from it. So the desert then is this place, symbolic, where there's danger and need and human struggle. But it's also a place of profound encounter and miracles from our faithful God. So what's interesting to me is that while this became a really important image in the scriptures, it wasn't from the beginning. From the beginning, if we go back to the book of Genesis, at the creation story, the place where humans encountered God was not the desert. It was the opposite of the desert. It was the garden. That was the place of encounter. So I'd really like to focus on this desert as a way to help us to enter into Advent and grow in our spiritual life. But I think to understand the desert, we have to go to the garden and see what happened in the garden and why God needs to lead us into the desert. So if we think back to the second chapter of Genesis, God creates the Garden of Eden, and it's a beautiful place. It's full of lush green plants. There's plenty of water there with four rivers flowing through it. The whole place is teeming with life. So we could say it's the opposite of the desert, literally. The desert is brown, dry, empty, devoid of life. Very different from the garden that God created. And in that garden, God put the man, and out of his rib, he created a woman, and everything was provided for them by their loving father there. And it was a place of encounter with God, where God walked with the man and the woman face to face. So while the man and the woman could eat of anything they found in the garden, there was one tree that they couldn't eat of. That was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, it's important for us to remember that this story is a symbol, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a symbol. So God didn't just make up a rule arbitrarily that they needed to follow. This wasn't like some kind of sick test or God's being petty, just choosing one tree that they weren't able to eat from. But rather, the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil is reserved only for God and not for humans, because for a very important reason. And this is because God himself is the determination of good and evil. What is of God's essence is good, and what is not of God's essence is evil. So God's being itself determines what's good and evil, so only God can have perfect knowledge of good and evil. So what does it mean when the serpent, who represents the devil, comes and tempts the man and the woman to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, it's trying to get the man and the woman to be God, to play God. And so when the man and the woman eat from this tree, what they're saying is that we want to determine what's good and evil for ourselves. We don't want God to be the determination of good and evil. We want that role ourselves. So in other words, when they eat from the tree, they're casting aside God's authority over them. They're saying, we don't need God. And so when they're exiled from the garden, we should look at it less of God's punishment to them, but rather the logical consequence of the choice that they've made. They've said, we want to be God, so we don't need God. Well, if they don't need God, then they don't need to live in the garden where everything's provided for them. They can apparently manage themselves. So God allows this. God allows them to exile themselves from the garden, where now part of the consequence of original sin is that the man and the woman are going to have to toil and work, and they're going to find life burdensome. Again, we can read it as the logical consequence of the choice that they've made. They've rejected God. They say they don't need him. Okay, well, now they're going to feel what it means not to need God. They're going to find life very, very difficult. So, this brings us back to the desert. So when we're in the desert, what's very apparent to us? Well, that we are powerless. We're not in control. We are needy in the desert. The desert's a place where you go and you're going to die unless you've brought provisions, unless you're provided for. And so by leading his people into the desert, God's actually bringing them to a place where they're going to feel their need for him so that he can provide for them. Remember, when they had everything provided for them, well, then they decided that they didn't need him, so they rebelled against him. You know, it sounds a lot like us, which makes a lot of sense, because the stories of Genesis tell us about ourselves and how we got in the situation that we're in. When our first ancestors, when some of our ancestors came here to Winstead from Germany, they didn't have anything. But they built a beautiful church. They didn't have any money. But the little that they had, they gave to God because of their deep faith. They knew that they needed everything from God. And so they were able to give generously and prioritize the building of this church, which to them was an oasis in the desert. But what happens as people get wealthy? We begin to imagine that we actually don't need God that much because we have a lot. And so people stop going to church. People stop giving to church. So I only use this as an example, but we can see what prosperity, the spiritual effect that prosperity can have on us. And we have evidence in this very church of the spiritual effect of poverty. That poverty helps us to feel our need for God, and thus we prioritize God in our faith. So all of this is true, we can say, on a societal level, but this is also so true for each one of us personally, individually, in the life of our soul, spiritually. None of us likes to be in the desert. But man, the desert is a really good place for God to show up in our life, because it's there in the desert that we remember that we need him. So what's your desert place? Maybe it's a desert that you're in because of no fault of your own. Maybe your desert is illness or poor health or the loss of a loved one or struggles at work or loss of work, financial struggles, loneliness. Or maybe the desert is one of our own making. Maybe it's feeling stuck in sin. Maybe it's feeling the consequences of our sin, the sense of loneliness and isolation from others and from God that sin brings to us. Maybe it's guilt or anxiety. Maybe it's the experience of many failures in our life, the consequences of our human weakness. Maybe it's struggling in our relationship with God, not feeling God's presence, dryness in prayer. So we all think that when we're in the desert, it's the worst place to be, and we want to get out of there as soon as we can because we feel out of control. We don't like that. But what if the desert is precisely the place where God wants to meet us? What if it's precisely the place that God uses to finally get to us? To finally help us to feel our need for him so much so that we cry out to him. Or we do what the prophet Isaiah says to do in the first reading. We prepare his way. In the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed in the most unlikely place, in the desert of our heart. So, brothers and sisters, I guess just practically what we can think of is how we like to take ourselves out of the desert when we're feeling it. You know, I think sin in our life, we can think of it as our unwillingness to suffer. This is what I mean by that. So sins of impurity are simply our not wanting to suffer chastity. Our sins of gluttony or indulgence simply are not wanting to suffer whatever it is that makes us want to overeat. We have a bad day, and so we eat a bag of Doritos. The Doritos are just our not wanting to deal with the desert of our life. And so we go to the Doritos, or of course it could be 100 other things. It could be to alcohol or exercise or romance novels or pornography or whatever it is, but we go to the Doritos instead of letting God come to us, finding our help in God. So we're in the desert, and it's like we bring in a pot of artificial flowers and pretend that those are real, the real thing. It's going to console us. But actually, the only real thing is God, is the Holy Spirit, the water of God's love and the Holy Spirit that he wants to pour into us to get things growing and blooming again. But we cut them off by eating the bag of Doritos or turning to whatever we do in those times when we don't feel very good about ourselves. The problem isn't that we don't feel good about ourselves. The problem is that we don't let God love us when we need him to love us. When what we really needed is his love, we turn to some creature comfort. So brothers and sisters, in our gospel today, what do we see the people of Jerusalem doing? They leave the city and they go into the desert. So during Advent, that's what we have to do too if we want to prepare for Jesus as the people of Jerusalem were preparing for Jesus. Leaving the creature comforts of our lives and everything we rely on that's not God and journeying out into the desert, into that place where we actually will feel our need for Him. And instead of reaching for the Doritos, we have to reach for God there. Creating a highway so that He can come and touch our hearts with His love. Make flowers grow there once again so that it can be the garden that we want it to be. So brothers and sisters, thankfully we have 2 weeks of, two weeks of Advent left. Almost 3 weeks. So it's a good time if we haven't already to ask the Lord to help us to make concrete resolutions in our life. Maybe when we do that, maybe we can think about giving up some of those things that lead us, that keep us out of the desert, keep us needy of recognizing our need for God. So as we approach Jesus this morning, we ask Him to please help us to prepare our hearts for Him the way that He wants to come into our lives and hearts, so that in the midst of the desert, we can cry out to Him in our need, and so that He can come and water our hearts and make it the garden that He wants it to be.